Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show.
Wild, wild night, right? Now, it didn't start off that way, but man, it got nice, didn't it? Who doesn't have that draft dopamine pumping through them right now? I tried to warn you, too. I tried to tell you that this was about to become the Oprah Winfrey draft. And that's exactly what we got. You get a quarterback. You get a quarterback. You get a quarterback. You get a quarterback. Chicago gets a quarterback. Washington gets a quarterback. New England gets a quarterback. You all get quarterbacks. Minnesota, you get a quarterback. Denver, you get a quarterback. Everybody gets a quarterback. Even the Falcons. That sounded like Howard Dean more than Oprah. Yeah! Either way, six quarterbacks. There's a quarterback in Chicago and a quarterback in Washington and a quarterback in New England and a quarterback in Minnesota and a quarterback in Denver and a quarterback in Atlanta. Ah, ah! We all get a quarterback. They did too. Six in the first 12 picks. I mean, beyond unprecedented. It's actually insane. And it's pretty awesome, at least for team content. Now, for Kirk Cousins, it might not be so awesome. But we'll circle back to that. First off, congrats Detroit for a great atmosphere. And congrats Chicago, you did not blow it. Congrats Chicago, you were not scared off by that nonsense or the nail polish. And you didn't just pick one absolute stud last night. You managed to get Prince, the quarterback, and Rome Odunze. Prince and Rome. It's like there's a super group forming in Chi-Town. The revolution is on. And for the record, you know me. I don't play favorites. I just don't. I never have. I never will. There are so many dudes to respect and appreciate that hit that stage last night. How could I play a favorite? And besides, again, I never play favorites, especially in an environment like that. But my favorite dude definitely was my namesake, Rome Odunze. I'll just say it. I love that dude. I love that guy. Everything about that guy. The way he shows up on and off the field. I don't think I've been all about a dude coming out of the draft since my man Terrell Buckley way back in the day. Which prompted one of my favorite lines ever, pre-social media, maybe even pre-internet. A clone rolled up on T-Buck when T-Buck was in his prime. A clone rolled up on Terrell Buckley and said, "Dude, why is Rome always talking you up on his show? Why is Rome always hyping you? It's like he can't stop talking about you." And T-Buck looks at the guy and very matter-of-factly says, and I quote, "I don't know, man. He just loves me." End of quote. Listen, I may not love anything the way I loved my dude T-Buck back in the day, because we were both a couple of brash young dudes on the way up. But yes, I'm all about my namesake, Rome Odunze. And I'm all about what the Bears did last night. I love what the Bears did last night. Moving along, no surprise at number two, no surprise at number three, Jaden Daniels is the new post Dan Snyder face of the Commanders, and he's an absolute stud.
What a stud!
He is a stud. Absolute stud. Drake May is the new post-Hoodman face of the Patriots. Just know that the Hoodman himself is not exactly impressed with the new face of New England. Here he was providing analysis for ESPN last night, and let's just say he is not the biggest Drake May fan.
Drake May, his footwork needs a lot of work. You can see here he's just all over the place, never resets his feet. Never really gets in position to throw, gets strip sacked.
I mean, damn, Bill. First of all, I had no idea you could enunciate like that. I had no idea you had command of the English language like that. I had no idea you could string together thought and sentences. But I mean, he damn straight mocked the guy. I mean, he makes it sound like the only thing missing from that was like, "Dude, have you ever played football before? Is this the first time you've ever picked up a football?"
Drake May, his footwork needs a lot of work. You can see here, he's just all over the place. Never resets his feet. Never really gets in position to throw. Jeez. Gets strip sacked.
Even the other dudes at that desk were like, easy, Hood. I mean, get off the dude. Here's what I want to know. Is he going to bring that same heat and intensity to everybody he sees that he feels that way about? Or was that just rubbing it in and taking a run and going back and forth still with Bob Kraft? Because if that's what that dude's about and he's going to give us that kind of analysis and he's going to be consistent with it, then great. I'm here for it. Otherwise, he just took a run at a dude because he's a Patriot. We'll see. I'll tell you what, man. He had no issue enunciating on that one. I mean, he all but said, look, the kid sucks. The kid sucks. Look at his footwork. He can't even handle that. No way would I take that guy. He's all over the place.
Gets strip sacked.
Doesn't set his feet. He's all over the place. He gets strip sacked, of course. You know why he got strip sacked? He sucks. And I'm Bill Belichick. Hood nearly went full Casserly on that dude.
Below not good.
Now, granted, yes, he had that take before the draft actually started. So technically, at that time, he didn't know that he was killing the Patriots pick, a.k.a. the first Patriots pick that he didn't make himself in like 100 years. But, I mean, come on. It's not like the dude didn't know that Drake May was going to end up there. Everybody had a pretty damn good idea of how the first three picks were going to go, right? You have to think that the Hood knew exactly what was going to happen. What I'm saying is Hood knew and was throwing shade. That was the Hood continuing his tit-for-tat war with Bob Kraft. Because there's no way you could get me to believe that the Hood was shocked to see May go to New England. So he may have run all that smack at him before the draft, but he knew where that guy was going to end up, in New England. What I'm saying is he knew exactly what he was doing. So, no real surprises at 1 or 2 or 3 or 4, not 5, not 6, not 7.
Not 2, not 3, not 4.
I'll get to that guy in a minute.
Five,
then all of a sudden, one of the all-time draft night surprise bombs at number 8. Let me put it to you this way, and I'm sure y'all saw it, but the Atlanta Falcons made one thing very, very, very clear last night. They've got that big Penix energy.
He's going to bring that big Penix energy. He's going to bring that big Penix energy.
They've got that big Penix energy. I mean, seriously, these dudes must love them some Penix, because they are taking serious heat this morning for taking Michael Penix Jr. Now, I'm not saying that's a reason not to do something. You're going to get heat no matter what, almost, no matter what you do. But sometimes, and generally, when everybody goes one way, it's very logical, and I'll go the other way. But every once in a while, when everybody goes one way, it's because everybody is right. I don't know yet about this. I just know that almost everybody is going the other way. And they are taking a lot of heat, because a couple of months earlier, they threw a 35 going on 36-year-old Kirk Cousins, recovering from that Achilles tear, a 4-year, $180 million contract with 100 of it guaranteed. This is a big, big, big swing for Terry Fontenot and Raheem Morris. Now, you know this is a big, big Terry and Raheem house. I'm big fans of both those guys. But man, that is a big-ass swing. That is a wild swing. Some would even call that a crazy swing. And one of those people might be Kirk Cousins himself. Kirk right now is probably like, Terry?
Terry?
This pick is an absolute joke. Oh my God. Terry?
Silly-ass man.
Terry?
Silly
ass GM.
Terry.
Terry.
Never show a smile.
Raheem.
I mean, when you do, you're spanking.
Terry. Serious man.
Looking for those
Terry. What are you doing?
That's what you're doing.
I mean, Kirk's probably not quite that upset, but he also, at the same time, does not appear to be very happy. And I'm sure that finding out about that pick while Atlanta was on the clock last night didn't help matters. According to Diana Rossini's report in The Athletic, quote, the Falcons called Cousins when they were on the clock to let him know they were taking Penix. His agent, Mike McCartney, told The Athletic. When Cousins signed with the team this offseason, the Falcons told him they would be drafting a quarterback in the later rounds of the draft. He was stunned when they took one in the first round. And Cousins' biggest concern is that that pick doesn't help the team for the upcoming season. End of quote. Let's talk O'Reilly Auto Parts. They're in the business of keeping your car on the road. O'Reilly Auto Parts offer friendly, helpful service and the parts knowledge you need for all your maintenance and repairs. They've got thousands of parts and accessories in stock, either in-store or online, so you never have to worry if you're in a jam. The team at O'Reilly Auto Parts can test your battery for free in or out of your car. If it needs to be replaced, they'll help you find just the right battery for your vehicle. Need your windshield wipers replaced, a brake light fix, or a quick service? They'll help you find the right part or point you to the nearest local repair shop for help. Whether you're a car aficionado or an auto novice, you will find the employees at O'Reilly Auto Parts are extremely knowledgeable, helpful, and best of all, they are friendly. The professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts are your one-stop shop for all things auto, do-it-yourself, and you can find what you need in-store or online. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts today or visit us at OReillyAuto.com/Rome. Once again, OReillyAuto.com/Rome. Kind of hard to argue with that logic. He's got a good point there, right? Of course he was stunned to get that phone call. Everybody was stunned by that pick. Everybody is still stunned by that pick. For the record, this is Fontenot and Raheem's response when they were asked about that phone call that they lobbed to Kirk.
Whichever one of you called Kirk when you were on the clock and you tell me about it, what's his reaction?
Well, that's a private. We wouldn't share that, you know, and obviously we...
Reactions are pretty private, right?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, I got it. I got it, Tiger Woods. That's private.
That's private.
That's private.
That's private.
Doesn't sound like it went that great, though, does it?
Private.
And since when are reactions private anyway? Not around here, they're not.
Private.
The clones are extremely public with all their reactions.
Private.
Every single day. And they expect me to read all those reactions to the public every single day. So not all reactions are private.
That's private.
But if what Rossini is reporting is true, then Kirk's reaction is understandable, right? Because like I said, if Kirk's, quote, biggest concern is the pick doesn't help the team for the upcoming season, then I got to admit, he's got a point, right? They're built to win right now. You brought in a 36-year-old quarterback coming off a significant injury. You're built to win right now. The team is set up to win right now. That's why he signed there, because they're built to win right now. That's why he picked them. And he wanted to go home, but he believed they were built to win right now. So you could have gotten an immediate impact player at number 8. Instead, Atlanta took the exact opposite tact, the exact opposite thing of an immediate impact player. In fact, Terry Fontenot actually tried to justify the pick by saying that it will be a good thing. Listen to this logic. And again, I love the guy, but listen to this logic. It's a good thing if we don't see Penix for 4 or 5 years.
If you believe in a quarterback, you have to take him. And if he sits for 4 or 5 years, that's a great problem to have because we're doing so well at that position. So
it's not even a good thing to take a guy in the top 10 and then not play him for 4 or 5 years. It's a great thing. What? My man, you're not helping your own cause here. So you're trying to tell Falcons fan that it would be a great thing if they don't see the 8th pick overall until he's 29? You're trying to tell me it's a great thing if the 8th overall pick does not play a game on his rookie contract?
Great problem to have.
Listen, I respect Terry Fontenot very much. I do. And I can respect thinking about the future.
Terry?
I can. But you don't need to think about the upcoming decade, man. This is the NFL, a.k.a. not for long. You don't need to plan for the next century. The dudes from this draft class are not going to make it to the next millennium, as much as I hate to admit it. And I've heard this comp, like, well, what about Green Bay? What about Green Bay? You see, unlike the Falcons, I'm sort of concerned about this dude's age. I know, and his injury history. I know he's been fine the last couple of years, but I'm sort of concerned about his age. I'm sort of concerned that he's tore the same knee twice and had surgery on both shoulders. And I don't think that it's accurate to compare this to Green Bay's method. Green Bay did not use a top 10 pick on either Jordan Love or Aaron Rodgers, nor did they pick either of those dudes just a couple of months after signing a massive free agent contract for a quarterback. I mean, it might be a draft and stash, but it's not the same thing. I guess what I'm saying is, Terry. So it's pretty shocking. Hell, Penix himself said he was stunned. Even he didn't see it coming. Nobody saw it coming. Penix was probably like, Terry? Is this really you?
Terry?
Are you pranking me? Is somebody punking me? Are you sure you want me at number 8? Wild night. Clones, what do we want when we're craving protein or we need more energy? Not bars, not sugary snacks, not energy drinks. No, we want beef. Pure and simple. So where's the beef? It's in a package of Old Trapper beef jerky. Old Trapper is not your father's jerky. Shriveled, dry, and tasteless. Old Trapper beef jerky is made from lean strips of steak and quality spices that are smoked over a real wood fire. So it's tender and it's tasty. It's not tough. And why is it so good? Because Old Trapper is a 50-year-old family business known for their relentless commitment to quality. They take smoked beef extremely seriously, and you can taste it in every single bite. Old Trapper is packed with protein, and it comes in 4 amazing flavors that satisfy all your cravings. Quality smoked meat at its finest that goes with you wherever you go, to the game, to the gym, to the beach. Look for Old Trapper in the Clearview bag. That way you can see the quality you're buying. Look for it in major retail stores near you. If you don't see it, ask for it by name, because no other jerky compares. Old Trapper, what's your beef? Kalen DeBoer. Kalen, it is awesome to have a chance to get caught up with you. How are things, Kalen?
I'm good. Thanks for having me on, Jim. Always a pleasure to be on your show. But yeah, we're doing great here in Alabama.
Man, it is so great to hear you in Alabama. Kalen, like, what a wild ride this has been. Weren't you and I talking Fresno State Bulldog football like 5 minutes ago? And I got to ask that. And then now that you're all in Tuscaloosa and you're all about this thing, does it all feel pretty normal to you? Or do you have moments even yourself where you think, man, am I really living and working in Tuscaloosa, coaching where Nick Saban and Bear Bryant coached?
Yeah, it has gone fast, that's for sure. It wasn't that long we were talking, Fresno State football. But, I think what really happens is the work becomes the work. And you just, maybe pinch yourself when you get the opportunity to take the job and you understand, again, everything that's been a part of this great program. But once you get into the office for the first minutes and the work is there and you're starting to build your team, and it becomes where you're at and what you do. And so it's been an awesome 3 to 4 months here building the staff, building this team, and spring ball was awesome. And we're getting ready now for the summer and the next step before we get into fall camp.
We are talking to Kalen DeBoer. I was going to ask you about spring ball. One more thing about that. I mean, listen, you're a winner. You were in the national championship game last year. You know exactly what you signed up for. You know who you're following, but you also know that you've got a supreme belief in your own abilities and your own process. And there really is nothing like Tuscaloosa. So my question is, when Bama calls, do you just have to come, or was there much more that went into that decision than that? What was your process?
Yeah, everything did happen really fast, within really about 24 hours. And so I think still, though, I was at a really good place and, loved working at Washington. It's an amazing, university program, obviously, with the success we've had there. But I think, what I really enjoyed was the conversation with Greg Byrne, our athletic director, and hearing his vision, hearing his passion, the things he was, wanting to continue to do, and knowing that you had someone you could really like lock arms with, and you know, continue to build on the program and everything that Coach Saban had done, you know, up to this point. And so, you know, I really felt that fit was there. You know, I've been in enough different parts of the country, not necessarily right here in the Southeast, but you know, been enough places to where I felt like I could adapt fairly easily. And you know, being at a place like Alabama where, you know, football is just so important, and you know, even on top of that, though, everything just being done in a first-class way, still a extremely high level and strong emphasis on academics, and just you know, the development of the person, you know, not just the player on the football field. It was a great fit.
Alabama head football coach Kalen DeBoer joins us once again. So you mentioned spring ball. I'm curious, what was it like to take the field for that spring game and have that packed stadium? Had you ever experienced anything quite like that before? And then what did that feel like?
Yeah, not for a spring game, that's for sure. it was just really cool. You know, just everything from seeing the guys do the walk into the locker room and getting a somewhat of a feel. I know it's going to be on another level come this fall, but getting a feel of what game day environment's going to be like. Our fan base just, you know, showed up, showed out, and it was a really fun day for these guys. And, you know, I was happy for them because they've been through a lot, you know. Coach Saban and that transition from, you know, with the guys, there's a lot of noise around the program, especially there in January, and they just really stayed the course, you know, and just weathered through it. And here we are, you know, being able to showcase in the spring game, you know, what they've done and how far they've really come along. And I'm certainly proud of the direction we're going. We're not there yet, but we're in a good spot, that's for sure.
We're talking to Kalen DeBoer, the head coach at Alabama. You know, you mentioned the transition the players had to go through, and of course there's going to be that great transition. Judging from the reaction last night on social media, Nick working as a TV analyst and not being the head coach there is still a little surreal to some. I'm curious, in terms of transition, what about the transition from him to you? Like, for instance, how well did you know Nick before you became his successor, and what kind of an interaction have you had with him since you took that job?
Well, you know, other than just everything I'd always seen from afar, Coach and I had never, you know, really had an interaction. You know, we played here in 2017. I was an assistant. That would be about the closest as far as being on a field or anything like that that I had ever been to Coach Saban. But he's again, I say it this way. I think there's been one time where he hasn't picked up the phone, and within about 5 minutes, he was calling me back. So I'm assuming he was busy. You know, he's just been so open to anything I've needed. You know, and early on, a lot of calls and questions and just advice, just on certain things. And then, you know, that our staff, he's just been open to them as well. A few guys have gone over and met with him, you know, where he's at with his office, and it's been awesome. And he's been, you know, so respectful. You know, I consider this our program, and when I say our, it's every alum, it's every coach, head coach, assistant coach that's made this place great. Of course, the fan base. So, you know, he's made our program special, and he's respected, you know, me coming in as a new leader, maybe been over the top on that respect, just trying to give us the space. But I also want he and everyone who's been a part of this to know that they're always going to have this opportunity to be here whenever they want as well.
I'm not going to lie, I'm loving talking Alabama football right now. Kalen DeBoer joins me for a few more moments. I know you're looking ahead, but I've got to ask you about last night. The first big wow of the first round was your former quarterback, Michael Penix, going to the Atlanta Falcons at number 8. What was your reaction when you saw that? And then how do you think his skill set will translate to the NFL?
Yeah, I mean, I just feel like he's completely 100% deserves to be picked in that, you know, in those spots, whether it's the Falcons or anyone. I'm just, you know, he's that level of a player. He's that level of a person. He's a guy you can build a team around. I know we did that at the college level. I understand the NFL is a whole different animal, but he's built for that. You know, through all the things he's been through adversity wise, he's just got a maturity about him. And then, you know, translating his game to the NFL, I completely feel like it does. You know, you can make all the throws, you know, at the college level, that hash throw to the opposite sideline, down the field. You need touch. You need to transfer some weight and rip it. He can do it all, you know. And he's got a great head on his shoulders. He processes things quickly. I could go on and on. He's the ultimate team player. You just know that he's constantly thinking about ways where he can, you know, do special things for his teammates. You know, whatever it might be, he's going to do it. And I'm super excited. I think his game translates over to the NFL very well.
Kalen DeBoer joining us. So leave me with this thought and take a moment, if you don't mind. Wide receiver Rome Odunze was taken by the Bears with the 9th pick. Kalen, I spoke with him on Wednesday, and although I already loved him as a player, I realized pretty quickly he is every bit as good a dude as he is a baller. I don't play favorites, but I'm just going to say it. I think he's my favorite guy in this year's draft, like personally and professionally. What was he like to coach, and what kind of an impact do you think he's going to have on the next level?
I always told him he's one of the most, and there's a lot of guys that have been coachable, but he's one of the most coachable guys, one of the most likable guys that have ever been around. The vibes you're getting are what every single day in our facility was, you know. And he just, you know, number one, takes care of himself and makes sure he's pouring everything into himself, being the best he can be. But that's the way he was with the entire team. And he loved his teammates. He saw himself and the platform he had as being something even bigger than just the game. He was making a difference in the community, you know, whatever community service opportunities, the people he could impact and give a great experience to, he was all about it. And he's a pro in every way. A gym rat is what I've always said whenever I talk about he as well as some of our other guys. But he just loves the game. And, you know, he's going to take advantage of every opportunity he has because he's going to put the work in. So I'm super proud of him. I'm excited for him. He's a tough kid. He's going to do well there in Chicago, I have no doubt.
Man, everybody says that about him. Kalen, one last thought, not to be greedy, but I want to ask you about one game, just one game next year. I'm really interested in one game especially because we have a summer home in Eagle River, Wisconsin. We had a son that went to Wisconsin. I'm really fascinated by that non-conference game in September at Camp Randall Stadium to take on the Badgers. I know you're not focused on that, but can you at least give me a sense, what kind of an atmosphere in Madtown do you think you'll be getting for that matchup? That's a fascinating game to me.
Yeah, it is. That you know, Wisconsin football is known for the passion. You know, that stadium, I've been in it, not on game day, but I know just with the friends and experiences that I've had talking about playing there, that will be an environment that certainly we'll be walking into where we'll be tested. And, you know, they'll be certainly excited to have us coming into that place. And, you know, we obviously, like you said, have steps before that we got to take to make sure we're ready for that moment. But that's going to be a great challenge for us as a program. And especially us, you know, as a first year staff, just having our guys ready for that moment and that game.
Kalen, I'm pumped for you. I'm really pumped for you personally and professionally. I can't wait to see how your squad looks under you and your staff and your process. I so appreciate the friendship and the relationship, and it's so good to have you on the program. Thanks so much for doing that. Have a great rest of the summer, and I'll look for you really soon.
Yeah, that goes both ways, Jim. I appreciate you always having me on, and you do such a great job. So thanks for everything, and roll tide.
So I've got a quick question for you. Are you looking for ultimate comfort and pain relief? Let's compare G-Defy shoes to other shoe brands that promise comfort and support and pain relief. Typical shoe brands rely on EVA soles for cushioning, but G-Defy offers so much more. G-Defy goes above and beyond with VersoShock technology, providing superior shock absorption and energy return if you suffer from foot, knee, or back pain. G-Defy's advanced technology may help provide you with the relief you deserve. I can't even believe these shoes and the difference they make for me. G-Defy shoes also offer two free supportive orthotics to help improve your body's biomechanics, resulting in proper body alignment and ultimate comfort. Yes, they do all that. So whether you're an athlete, a busy parent, or just somebody who's always on the go, G-Defy Shoes offers the versatility and the comfort that your feet crave and need. Say goodbye to discomfort. G-Defy is more than EVA soles. It could be your path to unparalleled comfort and pain relief. Visit G-Defy.com today. Experience ultimate comfort and pain relief at G-Defy.com. G-D-E-F-Y.com. Use the code JIM30 for $30 off orders of $150 or more. That's code JIM30 for $30 off orders of $150 or more. G-Defy shoes. They are incredible. James Kelly. Hey, Head. You know what would be great?
What's that?
It would be great, Head, to start the weekend by getting that paper. Do you agree?
Yes, sir.
Damn, you sound as pissy as Alvy today. Why are you so short?
No, I'm in a great mood, actually. Yeah!
Are we going to get that paper, or are you going to cost us paper?
I don't know. It's a good question, because my on-air NBA bets have been backside polter, but my off-air have been wonderful. So, but I am in a good mood, because...
Yeah, as long as you're making money. And never mind that you're costing all of us money. As long as you're personally making money, that's all that matters, Head.
I know. But it's the best day of the sports year for me, Jim. Day two of the NFL draft with some basketball. It's going to be a good night. We're going to make some money now.
Okay, good attitude. Why do you love day two of the draft so much?
Because it's where you find better, I don't know, two rounds of the draft, great players, great value. I just love it. It's the best. And I love round four and five, too. But two and three are my favorites by far, even better in round one. And this is where the great GMs do their thing.
It's that weird thing. Like, you're functionally illiterate. I'm not convinced that you graduated third grade. But you got this weird, crazy head and this kind of like weird computer inside. You actually love like the money ball aspect. You love the value aspect. You love the intellectual gymnastics of it, right? Even though, you're not that bright.
Not bright at all.
Actually, you're bright. You're just not well-spoken.
Yeah, not well spoken for sure. But yes, I love that part of the whole thing. I love the trade up, trade down. I spend way too much time on it. I spend months on it trying to think how you should do certain things.
Do you?
And what you should do. Yes, it's horrible. Like Joe Douglas nailed it for me last night. Brad Holmes. I love Brad Holmes. I think he's like Shanahan level of love. I don't want to have S with him, but I love him.
Wow, dude.
What he did last night moving up. Unbelievable. Joe Douglas, unbelievable. Move one back.
Okay, what about Brandon Bean?
I'm okay with it, actually, for right now. I'm okay with it because I still think they have some stuff with their tight ends that could work in that offense. And he got a third-round pick out of the whole thing to move up from fourth, and there's great value from third to five this year. Great value.
Dude, why even pick games, man? You can just break down day two and day three.
Dude, I just love it. I love it.
I can tell you, dude. You like it better than S.
Yeah, probably.
Do you like it? Probably. I'm sure the wife would love to hear that. Do you like it better than washing dogs?
Oh, hell yes. Absolutely.
Is that part of the business opened yet?
Yes, it is. Hell yeah. It's open right now.
How is business?
It's good. We had to shut down for a minute this morning because we have to drain some stuff, but it's good. We're good.
Drain what? Like, did the dog hair clog up the drain? Is that what you mean?
Hey, yeah, a little bit. Business is business. Yeah.
All right. Let's get to business. Why don't we start with the Pacers and the Bucks? Dame goes crazy in game one without Giannis, but then the Bucks came back to earth in game two because, of course, they did. They don't really have Giannis, and they do really have Doc Rivers, and that's not a good thing, not this time of year. And by the way, they're really not playing well, either straight up or against the spread over the past 10 games. Indiana seems like a pretty obvious pick right here until you realize the number you'd have to lay.
Right.
How big is that number right now? How are you playing it?
Yeah, the line is moving again and not good for Indiana bettors. It's now 6 after being 4.5 yesterday.
But
not good at all. But I'm still going to lay the points and go with the Pacers here. And it's because, like you said, these Bucks are quite the failure. I know Mr. Positivity Giannis doesn't agree with that statement, but it is true right now.
There's no failure in sports. Right.
Well, there kind of is, Giannis. That defense of yours, it's ass right now. More importantly, the transition part of it is killing your team, Giannis. When you play the Pacers, you have to score in the paint, which is not that hard considering only the pool party-led ass Wizards defense allowed more points in the paint.
You're not a fan of that guy at all, are you?
No, I'm not. He got paid, and he got lucky because of how the salary cap works. So he got paid, but he's not good at basketball.
Jump out the pool on that.
Jump out the pool on that.
You don't even hide your disdain for that.
No, he's like he's even worse than Bradley Beal. I'm just gonna throw that out there. Yeah.
Wow, dude.
Yeah. 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 Rex
yeah,
Lee,
yeah,
right
yeah,
there.
Rex. Yeah. 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 I didn't know you hated Bradley Beal too.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't like Bradley Beal that much either. He's costing the Suns here too. My
is
point.
Is he costing you money? Is that your problem, or is he costing?
No,
the Suns?
Wolves. They're helping me there against the Suns and
dude,
Bradley Beal.
We love Beal. The Wolves.
Yeah, we do. Big time.
We
sure.
We generally don't pronounce them the Wolves, but we love the Wolves.
Dude, I can't say that word.
I can't say that word.
There's no loss in Minnesota.
I love the Wolves, man.
The Wolves.
I love Coach Finch. I love the Wolves. How do you spell Wolves?
I don't even want to try.
Anyway, don't worry about that. We love the T-Wolves. Go ahead.
Back to the game. Sorry. The pool party. The Ass Wizards defense is the only team in the association that allows more points in the paint than this Indiana team did in the regular season at 58.3. Milwaukee's points in the paint v. Pacers, game one, 34, game two, 36. 20-some points lower than that average, and if you don't capitalize, the Pacers are going to get that odd man advantage and eat you up, and that's what they've done. Also, if Doc Rivers has not called Adrian Griffin yet, you might want to hit him up for some tips on offense because Adrian
has these
guys.
He should be his mentor, right?
He should be. Their offense was way better under Adrian. During his time, offensive rating just behind Denver as the sixth best in the NBA. Doc's offensive rating, 18th in the NBA. That's ass. Let's say again tonight the Bucks can't keep up with the highest scoring team in the basketball in the Indiana Pacers. Pacers minus six.
All right, so first of all, Doc Rivers should be calling up Adrian Griffin to get advice. He should be his mentor.
Absolutely.
He should flip that thing over, mentor, mentoree. That kind of thing.
Exactly that.
You know what? I'm doing the same thing. I'm going to lay the points. I love Indiana.
Nice.
Six is a big fat number, but I'm not feeling the Bucks, and I'm not feeling Doc. And I don't even think he's going to call AG, and he should. So I will lay the points. I'm with you on the same thing.
Beautiful.
The same page. All right. Beautiful. So Mavs v. Clips. And we'll get to the Wolves. Don't worry.
Okay.
Mavs v. Clips. This just in. That dude on the second floor, what's his face? He's that guy. He's a problem. He's long been a problem. He's going to continue to be a problem. From the second floor apartment, he's a problem there. He's a problem on the ground, running against the Clips. The dude's always a problem.
Always.
Meanwhile, the Clips didn't have Kawhi in game one, and it didn't matter. Then they get him back for game two, and it still didn't matter. So the question is, where does that leave us now? If you like the Clips, there is value there. The question is, do you like the Clips, and how much value is there?
I do like the Clips. Credit first, though, for Dallas and realizing they were in the playoffs in game two and matching the Clippers' physicality there. But I'm taking the Clips and the Clip show here. Early foul trouble.
What do we get?
4.5 points.
Okay.
We can get with him right now. Yeah. Early foul trouble on Zubac and playoff P helped the Mavs in game two, and so did the guy you mentioned there, the guy San Antonio's glass, Kawhit, in his poor play. That was not good. He was rusty in his return, 7 of 17 from the floor. He also threw off their offensive flow a lot. LA missed 11 of 13 first half threes. I think they play better tonight and shoot much better. They were the best three-point road shooting team in the association this season, so that's good. Also, the Clippers' defense has been good.
Shoot.
And I have to be fair here, Jim, on a dude I've killed all season long, actually for the last few years, a key guy on both sides of the ball, Westbrook. Funny how that guy right there is willing to change his ways for Kawhi, playoff P, and Larden, but won't for LaFib and his follower street clothes. It tells
you
all you need to know about LaFib.
Great take.
Is it?
Yes.
Okay, cool.
Yes, well done.
Because he's changed his ways. No longer no Russ, no. It's go, Russ, go. That guy, when he went out in game two, the Mavs went on a 14-0 run that pretty much decided the game. With Westbrook on the floor the last two games, they've outscored the Mavs by 17 points. So I'm going to go against the second-best ATS home team of the season in Dallas and riding with Westbrook. Both sides of the ball, he's been fantastic. On defense, he's guarding 1 through 5. He's rebounding. He's pushing the ball. Let's go Clippers and take the 4.5.
When was the last time, if ever, you did at one point, I'm sure, but not in recent years, you Westbrooked him, gave him credit, and I agree with everything you just said.
I don't know if I ever had because I was on him in his Oklahoma City days with KD. I thought he was responsible for most of their losing, so probably
UCLA?
Never. Yeah.
How about UCLA? Maybe back then?
No, I hated the pick. I thought it was terrible. I thought Jared Bayless, remember that guy from Arizona? I'm like, what the hell are they doing? Turns out Sam Presti knows a little bit more than me.
No, I don't know if that's true.
Yeah, either do I. Good point.
Daryl Morey, maybe, but not
maybe
Presti.
Maybe Daryl.
All right, so you know what? I'm going to ride with you, Head. I think you're making a lot of sense. I will go Clippers plus 4.5.
Beautiful.
All right, let's get to your favorite team, the T-Wolves.
The Wolves?
The Wolves. Oh, you got it. Wolves.
I'll mess it up again.
Yeah. The Wolves and the Suns. A few things are apparent here. I love the Wolves. Taking nothing away from the Thunder. The Wolves are the biggest threat to the defending champs in the West, in my opinion. The Suns, here's something else we know. They're disappointing as hell.
Yes.
I'm sure they'll come out swinging tonight with some of that Game 3 desperation. But super team my ass. And speaking of that desperation Game 3 angle, I usually play that. And I did last night with the Lakers. And what did that get me? Yeah. Slapped. What is the number here? What are you doing with this one?
Yeah, all the haters are saying the Wolves can't play with two bigs that are not looking smart right now and are hot as hell because they're turning basketball back about 20 years. Seeing Kat and Naz Reid check KD has been interesting and effective this far. I love to see it, and I'm going to take them again and the 5 points we can get right now.
Love to see it.
For the Suns, I'd actually have KD bring the ball up and initiate the offense because not having that traditional ball handler is not working against the best defense in the association in Minnesota.
Is that a problem? Do you need a point guard?
Just a little bit right here, right? Points off turnovers in Game 2, Jim. A 31-2 advantage for Minnesota. 31-2.
Wow,
I think
horrible.
Yes, it is
great
horrible.
Great ratio, 31-2.
It says it all right there. I think Trent Baalke's
great effort
ass,
stat while we're at it.
It is, right? Yeah.
Way to hang on the ball. Sorry to interrupt you.
It's all right. I was just going to say Trent Baalke's ass could probably best describe that difference for
Okay,
Phoenix's
I'm not sorry that I interrupted you
go,
then.
Excuse me, gone through the final board yet.
That's it right there. Taking care of the ball right
great
there, Baalke's
execution.
Ass. Yeah. For the Suns, some positives in Game 2. They played physical. They out-rebounded Minnesota, and Ant wasn't effective, surprisingly. But the points off turnovers that we mentioned there and their inability to handle in-game adversity has been the difference. I know it's a shocker when things get tough for a KD-led team. They mentally fold. It makes you wonder if he's going to try to get to Denver.
That was fair.
Yeah. Think he'll try to get to Denver this offseason? Maybe bring
Is
Book with him?
Is that a real question?
Would that be the best?
It would be the most KD thing ever, wouldn't it?
Let's gravy train somebody else.
Yeah. I expect him to play better
He's
tonight.
He's reaching for his burner phone right now.
He probably is. He's probably going to tweet at the show, pissed off. Yeah. KD Trey, 3. Got him.
Continue.
I expect the Suns to get some home cooking, though, but I think Minnesota shoots it better tonight than they have this series, especially from distance. Like the Clippers, they can light it up from outside on the road, and thus far they have not shot well at all from three this series. Got the well
dude,
part,
you're
baby.
Yourself an what an episode. They have not shot well. You nailed that.
Love it.
Let's take a bow, dude.
Yeah. Let's take the points and the Wolves.
Love to see it.
Wolves. Okay,
love
Wolves what? Plus
That's 5.
I'm trying to see. I hit them earlier today, and my Wi-Fi is ass, so I don't know. I think I got them at 4.5. 5 would be nice. All right, so wow, that was a wild episode and a very good one for you, or a segment. Run the 3 back once again, if you don't mind.
Pacers minus 60 bucks. Clippers plus 4.5 at Mavs. Wolves plus 5 at Suns.
Awesome. All right, Head, thank you very much. Great job by you. Have a great weekend. Let's get that paper, dude.
Oh, I will. Draft night, baby. See ya.
I know you will. I want us to get the paper. You started the segment by saying, my on-air picks are ass, but I'm getting paid off-air. Great. Good for you. What about the rest of us? James Kelly, Big Head Bets. All right, so 1-800-636-8686. When we come back, I want to talk more about the association. What I want to do is talk about, hey, you know what? Can somebody throw the big fella, Joel Embiid, a little bit of credit? Little bit of credit? Hey, listen, I've got to tell you guys about this. So the other day, I come across a product that all of us should be carrying around, a product that I now carry around. It's something different for fresh breath. It's this amazing product called Zelman's Minty Mouth. And guys, it is an absolute game changer. If you're up in the grill of somebody else making your case for whatever it is, make sure your breath is fresh. If it's not, they won't hear what you're selling or saying anyway. Zelman's cleans your breath in a way that other mints don't and can't. because it's not just a mint. It's a functional breath freshener capsule that you swallow. Clinically tested against the toughest offenders like garlic and onions even. You just pop two or three in your mouth. You suck the minty coating, then swallow the capsule for the confidence of fresh, clean breath that lasts for hours. This product is like nothing else you've ever tried. It fights bad breath in your mouth, and then it goes down to your gut. This is the ultimate hack to get rid of coffee, garlic, or smoker's breath. It's that strong. You're going to love having the confidence of long-lasting fresh breath or your money back. That's right. Or your money back guaranteed. These folks will give you your money back. Not that you'll want it, but they will. They have free shipping if you order three packs or more. And trust me, you're going to want more. And nobody likes to pay for shipping, right? So go to Zelmans.com right now. That's Zelmins.com right now. Do it now and you'll get 15% off when you use my promo code ROME. That's Zelmins.com. But you have to use the code ROME, R-O-M-E, to get your 15% savings. Do it. Do it right now. Bucky Brooks. Bucky, it's always great to have you on. Man, how are you?
I'm great. How are you guys doing?
Good, dude. Good. So, Bucky, let's start at the very top, if you don't mind. It's now official. Caleb Williams is a Bear. Are you convinced that he's the transcendent franchise quarterback that they have been in search of for decades?
Look, I think he's a really good player. I think he's a great prospect. I think he has the potential to be one of those guys that we talk about being a top five talent in the league. However, I wouldn't say just based on watching him that he is that transcendent player. I know we talk about generational talents and we're kind of loose with our lips when it comes to that, but every top player cannot be considered a generational talent. What he is, though, is a spectacular improvisational playmaker. He has big-time clutch playmaking ability. We've seen him do it time and time again. And he just has an aura about him that leads you to believe that he could be special. But I wouldn't say that just based on physical dimensions and overall natural talent that he's transcended now.
Bucky Brooks joining us. So what would be, there's a lot to like about him. He checks a lot of boxes. What would be a concern or two of yours about him going in?
Well, I think the concern anytime you have a quarterback is not the physical. It's more about the connectivity. How is he going to connect with his teammates? Does he have the kind of personality that he kind of leads his teammates to want to play for him? The other part I would say is just ball security. 30 fumbles in college is too many turnovers. You think about the way that you win or lose games in the NFL is literally by winning the turnover battle. So can he take care of the football? Can he connect with his teammates? And can he stay within the structure of the offense instead of sometimes getting loosey-goosey? Sandlot, I think he can do all of those things. I think it's just a matter of him being able to do it at a high level when you have a lot of pressure and expectations they come along with being the number one overall pick.
Bucky Brooks joining us. So, Bucky, when you and I last spoke, it was during the combine about a month ago, you were really, really high on Jaden Daniels. How confident are you that the Heisman Trophy winner can quickly jumpstart the Commanders' stagnant offense working with their new offensive coordinator, Cliff Kingsbury?
Well, I'm really confident that Cliff Kingsbury would give him every opportunity to be successful. When Cliff Kingsbury had Kyler Murray was Offensive Rookie of the Year. He had over 3,500 passing yards, 500 rushing yards, and looked like the number one overall pick. I would think that Jaden Daniels would look like a special player in Kingsbury's offense. He does a really good job of making it quarterback friendly. Jaden Daniels is a rare player that is capable of really beating defenders with his arm or legs. So this is, in my mind, a match made in heaven. And the fact that he enters the NFL with 55 career starts, the game should slow down for him rather quickly once he gets to the National Football League.
Hey, Bucky, if you had that first pick overall, do you like Jaden better than you like Caleb as a player?
No, I still would take Caleb over Jaden. I always thought that debate was closer than maybe we talked about. But, no, I would take Caleb number one and then Jaden number two. I think that's the way I would stack him, and that's the way I had him stacked him when I ranked my top five quarterback.
Bucky Brooks joining us. All right, so seemingly everybody was stunned by the Falcons' decision to take Michael Penix Jr. number eight. Were you stunned by that?
I think more so stunned, not by the connection in terms of the Falcons and Michael Penix. Maybe stunned at eight because it wasn't something that had been talked about. But just because we on the outside don't talk about it doesn't mean that it's a bad pick. I think a lot of people get really upset when teams have a quarterback and then they draft a young quarterback. But they also get upset when their starting quarterback gets hurt and then the backup quarterback can't play. At some point, the general manager's job is to make sure that this team remains competitive for the long term. It's not just a year-to-year deal. And even though it was said that Kirk Cousins was mad that they didn't get the team anybody that could help them right now, it's more than just next season. It's about really building yourself a team that allows you to compete each and every year. Taking a quarterback high is supposed to be able to do that. And I love the quarterback. I think the quarterback in that offense has a chance to be terrific. It may take a year, 2 years before he gets onto the field, but the time and investment in Michael Penix should be well worth the risk and the headache that comes along with all the conversation about them disrespecting Kirk Cousins.
Bucky Brooks joining us for talking about the quarterbacks. And then, Bucky, you've got Bill Belichick, and he might not have been able to land a head coaching job, but he's getting some media run, and he settled in pretty quickly when he took a shot last night at Drake May for his poor footwork. He said, quote, "His feet are all over the place. Everything is a runaround play," end of quote. And to me, it's not just what he said, but kind of how he said it. But then again, maybe that's just what he says or that's how he speaks. I don't. Either way, do you agree with Belichick, and where do you come out on May as an NFL prospect?
No, look, I mean, I thought Bill Belichick brought great perspective. I know people go back and forth on him and Brady, who's more responsible. I think there's no denying that he's the greatest coach of our lifetime. And I think his perspective on Drake May is one that many NFL evaluators shared when it came to May. He is a very talented prospect. He is a guy that checks off all the boxes as the prototype. Arm talent, IQ, athleticism, the intangibles, he has all those things. But he was inconsistent at North Carolina, particularly his last season. And a lot of that was due to his fundamentals and his footwork. We can blame the offensive line and say they let too much pressure in on him, so it changed. But Drake May did not consistently throw from a solid platform. He didn't consistently show refined fundamentals. What Bill Belichick is doing is pointing out what any NFL scout would point out. He is just doing it in front of a media audience as opposed to just doing it behind the comfort confines of a meeting room.
Bucky Brooks joining me for a few more moments. You know, Bucky, what about Bo Nix? Let me ask you about him. He's the sixth quarterback taken in the first 12 picks, which is obviously pretty astounding. He goes to Denver, and Sean Payton obviously needed a quarterback. Do you think that Nix is the one who was left, or is he the one that Payton wanted? What do you think of that pick?
No, I mean, look, I think he is the one that Sean Payton wanted. And one of the reasons why is I want to say that one of his teammates was there. They had taken a seventh-round pick from Oregon the year before, and he talked about how Bo Nix used to set all the protection. Bo Nix could handle a massive volume of information at the line of scrimmage, something that veteran quarterbacks can do. Bo Nix crushed it when they had a private workout, and they gave him, like, little bits and pieces of the playbook to memorize, and they then quizzed him on it, and he was on it. I think Bo Nix has a lot of qualities that you like. One is experience. 61 starts most by any player coming into the draft at the quarterback position. Very productive the last 2 years at Oregon. Developed some, I would say, some tough skin, having dealt with the stuff that he dealt with at Auburn in terms of the height, being ballyhooed, being benched, moving on, to then refining his game in Oregon. To me, says that he has the grittiness that you need at the position. I think this is going to work out. It's going to work out for Sean Payton because he gets someone that can really act as his joystick as he's kind of playing the video game on offense. Bo Nix gives him an extension of himself on the field that typically leads to really, really good results.
All right, so before I let you go, Bucky, let me ask you about the Raiders. Obviously, they would have loved to have gotten a quarterback themselves. What do you think of them taking tight end Brock Bowers with their first pick?
Brock Bowers is a great pick, and the reason why it's a great pick because it's best player available pick. And a lot of times you hear general managers kind of throw that out there, and everyone is like, oh, this is coach speak. They don't do that. They're always going to find the best player in a position of need. This is obvious to me that Brock Bowers had a much higher grade than anybody else at that point, because if the Raiders wanted to, they could have had an offensive tackle to come in. But the fact that they went for Brock Bowers meant that it's a glaring red light. This dude is a top five talent. For whatever reason he slipped, the Raiders were there ready to cash in. They cashed in. Now they have some two tight end sets to be able to throw at people that should create problems in terms of dealing with their run game and make the make it easier for the quarterback to identify coverages, because there are only so many things you can do against that kind of personnel package.
He is a draft analyst for NFL Media. Remember, NFL Network's coverage of the 2024 NFL Draft in Detroit continues tonight at 7 p.m. Eastern with the second and third rounds. Bucky Brooks, our guest. Bucky, really appreciate you. Thanks so much. Great job as always.
Hey, thanks so much for having me.
Let's talk O'Reilly Auto Parts. They're in the business of keeping your car on the road. O'Reilly Auto Parts offer friendly, helpful service and the parts knowledge you need for all your maintenance and repairs. They've got thousands of parts and accessories in stock, either in-store or online, so you never have to worry if you're in a jam. The team at O'Reilly Auto Parts can test your battery for free in or out of your car. If it needs to be replaced, they'll help you find just the right battery for your vehicle. Need your windshield wipers replaced, a brake light fix, or a quick service? They'll help you find the right part or point you to the nearest local repair shop for help. Whether you're a car aficionado or an auto novice, you will find the employees at O'Reilly Auto Parts are extremely knowledgeable, helpful, and best of all, they are friendly. The professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts are your one-stop shop for all things auto, do-it-yourself, and you can find what you need in-store or online. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts today or visit us at O'ReillyAuto.com/Rome. Once again, O'ReillyAuto.com/Rome. Go to V in the fee. Get a phone call in here. Yo, V, what up?
Romeo, I'm with you, dog. I was feeling so good last night, draft night, playoff game. I mean, let me tell you about what happened at my crib. I'm watching the draft. The Vikings get Dallas Turner, an absolute stud. I'm a happy camper. And, you know, I get it. The Vikings had to draft J.J. McCarthy. He's cool, even though his highlight package is mostly handoffs. But then 7 p.m. rolls around, and I flip to the Laker game. I'm like, oh, wow, it's a fast start. It's 8-0. This could be good. So after I'm done putting on my clown makeup, because for some strange reason, my dumbass thought these guys had heart and grit and we're going to come out and win this game. But then, you know, the second half starts. Aaron Gordon turns into Michael Jordan because LeBron's constantly ball-watching him, leaving him open. D'Lo is shooting like Alec Baldwin. 0 points. No ice in his veins. Just ass in his veins. The self-proclaimed Defensive Player of the Year, AD, is getting cooked nonstop by Jokic, play after play, and Rui and Reeves decide we're not going to score the basketball until it's garbage time. But you know what? Hey, at least Diarrhea Darv had his hands out of his pants and decided to challenge those questionable calls that supposedly lost this game too, and his challenges worked. We won. But it doesn't matter because the Lakers can't make free throws and capitalize on free points. So, you know, after the game ends, the video comes out of D'Angelo Russell. He's sitting out of the huddle, on his phone, probably Googling how to make a jump shot or putting his house in L.A. up for sale. And, you know, of course, that report that you just said, the Laker higher-ups were mad at AD for calling out Darvin Ham for being disorganized. That's great. It's okay to be disorganized, Darvin. Forget the plays. Just be pissed at AD, you know, the guy that's dropping 40 every night, basically carrying the Lakers. But, hey, it's all good. Diarrhea Darv, you can do your thing with your hands up your ass and do nothing. That's okay. So you know what, Jim? If the Lakers don't care, D'Angelo doesn't care. Why do I care? I'm sitting here asking myself, why do I care? But, hey, congratulations, bums. You guys got that worthless NCAA tournament banner that's still hanging up in the rafters, taking a dump on all the fans as we sit there and watch the products on the court. V and the fee out.
I should hope you'd be ready the way you've been acting all day long. Go ahead, roll it.
With the first pick in the 2024 NFL Draft, the Chicago Bears select...
The week that was...
Welcome to the jungle. A tremendous Monday to you. How we all living? How'd the weekend go?
Happy Monday.
I'm coming off this extreme, full, empty nesting weekend. Got a lot done. Had a good time.
And you thought the regular season sucked?
How about that first weekend of the NBA postseason? Like, we waited all year for this?
Yeah! Last year, I went to Coachella.
Dame's like, you think I want to be Coachella? Roughing it out there in the desert heat, dust, wind, and traffic just to see Lana Del Rey.
Diarrhea Darvin Ham Sando.
Hopefully some of the Lakers players
spent Sunday looking for a strain called Be Better at Basketball. If they don't...
Hopefully you spent part of the weekend searching for a strain called Be Better at Life. Mark Pope.
Hey, Jim, I am like, now it feels real that I get to come on the show, brother. Come on. This is awesome. I'm so happy to be with you. Mayhem and chaos, which it always is. Romy, listen, man, I'm at Rupp Arena last Sunday. Matter of fact, I just pulled my vehicle over, jumped some dude's fence, and just hit his horse right in the mouth, man.
What?
I'm not betting, Joe Johnson.
See, the difference is, respectfully, I did bet on the Pels. And respectfully, they got me paid. Not only was I not Joe Johnson, I was full Johnson.
Hey, Rome, I got so baked. I dropped and broke my coffee mug. I got the super glue out, but I was at critical mass and had to drop a growler. Long story short,
Dude, I don't need the long version. I don't need the short version. Bo Nix joining us. Coming into the league in your mid-20s is a positive thing.
Played about as much football as you can to get ready for this next adventure. Age is a number, and, you know, I'm glad they didn't put an age limit on Tom Brady.
Jamal Murray made a shot.
Thanks for the high basketball IQ, AD. Thanks for clearing that up and then storming off the podium and throwing a butthurt temper tantrum.
What the f*** do we have a replay center?
All crying and blaming a foul that happened in the third quarter. The third quarter!
I don't know what to do.
Yeah, Ham, we know that you have no answer to Jokic. No shame in that. Even though you have the defensive player of the year who thinks that the league hates him because he's not getting any run. Joe Barton joining us once again.
Then it dawned on some of us, like, oh, they're wanting the end of this game. And through the wall, we could hear the Cavs react as a team when DiVincenzo hit that last three.
Bang! Bang!
Shock over the way that came in.
One GM told me, it's like if Prince played quarterback.
That really came from an NFL GM, and that GM thought that was a bad thing? There's no doubt they're going to win a Super Bowl with this guy in the center. You want to hate on a guy? You want to sink a guy's stock? Call Drake May Nickelback. Now that's a roast job. I might take pause if I heard that, but not Prince. Dawn in Santa Cruz. Were you at that show?
Indeed, Jim, yeah. Everything I've heard so far is true. Except I think there was three songs and they turned around and said, I'm sorry.
Whoa. Reggie gets his Heisman back and it didn't even land him in jail. Signed the juice. You know why? It didn't involve use of a gun or breaking and entering. Ryan Day, CJ Stroud, he has just been unbelievable.
You know, great to see him endear himself into an organization, build hope in an organization, and I think that's what some of our guys have done. And I think you'll see the same thing with Marvin this season.
24th out of 32 teams.
Dad, stop saying it. Dad, we prepped you for this. We went over this, Dad. Papa Jarrah. Daniel Jeremiah.
Look, if he can sing like Prince or hoop like Prince, the heck of a pick in the Bears are. Got their guy.
Rome Odunze.
He's my favorite player in the draft, Jim. I'm glad you said that. He's my third overall player, but my favorite player.
What's your beef?
Oh, I wish I could run that bitch ass down in my semi.
Dude, that's a lot. That's too much.
This fool wants to come and walk his dog. They always want to stop in my yard and drop a deuce. Pick that crap up or I'm going to stick your face in it.
My beef is with anyone who doesn't turn up unchained by Van Halen on the way to work.
Unwore the round pasty people burning their skin and driving slow.
My beef is with Jerry Jones' neurologist. Dude, you're sleeping on the job, dude.
We have a quarterback in Chicago and a quarterback in Washington and a quarterback in New England and a quarterback in Minnesota and a quarterback in Denver and a quarterback in Atlanta.
Drake May, his footwork needs a lot of work.
Doesn't set his feet. He's all over the place. He gets strip sacked, of course. You know why he got strip sacked?
He gets strip sacked.
He sucks.
Welcome to the NFL draft in Detroit.
Yeah, that goes both ways, Jim. Thanks for everything and roll tide.
The Wolves, they're helping me there against the Suns and
Dude,
Bradley
Beal. We love
Bill.
The Wolves.
I can't say that word.
I love the Wolves, man.
The Wolves.
I enjoyed watching it.
What does war mean?
Paulo Banchero.
More
than five and a half.
War. Rich Ackerman. Louder. Every day.
Always good talking to you, Jim. Take
so
care.
Much love for you, Jim Rome. Let's go, Cat.
Dude, as much as I love Odunze, you'll always be my favorite Rome, brother.
I'm not going to give you the launch date just yet. We are close, and we are building this thing. It is happening.
It's happening, you guys. It's happening.
It is happening, you guys.
Good night now.
And that's why Alvy has had a bad attitude. It's justifiable. Look what he just did. Alvin, brilliant.
Good night now!